This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Good afternoon, and you're listening to WRFL Lexington. It's 4 o'clock, and you're listening to Green Talks, where we explore the people and projects that are using the environmental stewardship fee to promote sustainability in the UK community. I'm your host, Lauren Thomas, and I'm the current Director of Outreach for the Student Sustainability Council. The funding for the projects featured on our show comes from the environmental stewardship fee, a $3.50 fee that all UK students pay along with tuition each semester. The ESF, which is expected to generate approximately $170,000 by the end of the 2016-2017 school year, is distributed by the Student Sustainability Council, hereafter the SSC, for various projects that enhance the culture and the culture of sustainability here at the University of Kentucky, that is. This week, I am joined by my fellow directors on the Student Sustainability Council. I'll let you guys all introduce yourselves.
I guess I'll go first. My name is Ellen Green, and I am now serving as the Director of Operations for the Student Sustainability Council.
I'm Gabriel Smith. I'm serving as Director of Development.
My name is William Varney. I am serving as the Director of Transparency and Accountability. I'm also the Shop Manager for Wildcat Wheels.
Yeah, thank you guys all for being here on this first day of school. It's a little hectic, I know.
Happy syllabus day to all.
Yeah, really. Happy syllabus day. So I would, if we could get a general rundown of each of your positions, I'll start off. As Director of Outreach, a big part of my job is doing this show and making sure that people all across campus know that there is this large pile of money that they pay for available to them for projects that enhance sustainability all over campus, so really just anything that goes along with that. Ellen, you want to touch on what it is that you do?
Yeah, so as Director of Operations, as the title entails, I pretty much am just in charge of the general operations of our meetings. Because the Student Sustainability Council is charged with the distribution of student fees and over $100,000, it's a lot of responsibility, and so part of my job is to make sure that we run our meetings by Robert's Rule, which is just a standard method for running a business-type meeting. I also am in charge of creating our agendas, and I maintain contact with Shane Tedder, who's our advisor. If we have a concern as a council, we talk to him about it. And, yeah, that's basically what I do.
Gabe?
So as Director of Development, I'll generally be the person who responds to a proposal, to inform them of the council's vote. And the Development Committee also assigns our members to follow up with each individual proposal to verify that they are using that money responsibly and in accordance with the proposal they submitted to the council. And the Development Committee, which I'm chair of, is also responsible for developing new policies that govern the council to ensure that we fairly and responsibly continue to dispense this fee.
As the Director of Transparency and Accountability, I'm responsible for essentially everything that we do to make sure that it's recorded and then made available to everyone so that they can review it. So during meetings, I take the meeting minutes to make sure that what we do and discuss during those meetings can be available to anyone that wishes to review them. Recently, we also added a liaison process to assign one of the council members to each approved proposal to follow up with them to make sure that they're on their own timeline, to see how much money was actually used from what they requested, and to make sure that all that information is available to the public.
Yeah, that brings up a good point of that. Our meetings are available to the public, both through the minutes that we post online on our website and to anyone who just wants to come. We have a schedule posted on our website of when those meetings are, and they are absolutely open to the public, and participation is very encouraged for that. I'd like to touch on the history behind the council. I know that none of us have been around since it's
since we were in like fourth grade.
Right, exactly. Might have been a little interesting to have us tag along, but so it was started in 2004. Is that right?
2004 is when a group of UK students went to a conference, I believe in North Carolina, where they met with student representatives from other campuses, and they saw a lot of schools had green fees or environmental stewardship fees, as we call it here. And so that really started the movement of students who pushed to have the student fee started here. And then I think the SSC was officially started in 2009, so that was a good 5 years of them working pretty hard to get this accomplished.
And how much was it when it first started? I know that we've grown to our current 350 number, but just do any of you like know what the
was it 25 or 50 cents?
75, I think, and then it increased to what I mean to what it is now. I don't. Oh, Shane was here. He's our memory guy. Everything. He's been here since the beginning, so he knows. But yeah, the way that the initial decision to have the Sustainability Council initiated and have the fee, I think there was an agreement that it would be increased maybe 25 or 50 cents a year up until a certain point, and then now it's 350, and I think we'll have to ask for it to be increased after this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, it's a really sizable amount of money now. It's, Shane was saying at our retreat that it's expected to reach, what, 170,000 this year, which is just a really cool resource for everyone. It's, you know, it's your money, it's all of our money since we're all students at the Sustainability Council, and so it's really cool that it's just this community fund to really give back to the community. It's a small impact on the individual and a large impact on the whole, which is just something that I think is really cool.
Yeah, last year we hit our $1 million mark somewhere in there. I don't think we ever officially celebrated when that amount was hit, but we know that by now we've spent more than that, but that was a pretty cool milestone to make.
Yeah, for sure. So can we maybe talk about really fast the retreats that we go on each semester? We just got back from our fall retreat. It was at Robinson Forest. I know that was a lot of fun, so if y'all can all go around and touch on that really fast.
Yeah, sure. Each year, a council member submits a proposal actually to the council to take some funds so that all of the council can go to Robinson Forest, which is like 30,000 plus acres of research forest that the university owns. Was actually donated to the university at the end of the, well, actually the beginning of the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2 days long. We go and have our first meeting there. We go over directorship positions. We start the committees and have people sign up for them. And it's really just an awesome bonding process to make sure that we all, one, know each other's names, can be friends, and can have cordial discourse between each other in the future. And it's just good to get to know everybody so that we can properly discuss whatever proposals or issues that arise in the next year to come.
Yeah, I think this was mine and Will's second retreat that we've been on. It was really cool going out there. The staff at Robinson Forest is great.
They're so sweet.
Yeah.
They're
Miss
so
Neva.
Shout out to Neva.
Shout out to Neva. She cooked us food while we were there. She is a cook over at the camp and does a lot of other important work over there, and every year she takes really cute pictures of everybody. She said that we're pretty boring though, because we just sit around a table and have meetings the whole time, but it was cool to go and see like pictures of us from last year.
Yeah.
And I can definitely testify to the importance of this retreat, because that was this is my second one, but I've served on the council 3 years, and the first year, I think there was something particular about that year where everybody was just slammed at the beginning of the semester, and so we were never able to make it out there in the fall to have a retreat. And I think just the feel of the council that year seemed a lot less like a family compared to how I've felt with council since then. I think the retreat really helps set the tone for everybody working together and us being a community as well as a council.
Yeah, for sure. I missed one last year, and so I definitely could see how that affected us versus this year, where I'm already knowing everyone's names and having those sort of memories there. And I think that really helps us to effectively do our jobs.
Yeah.
You know? I feel like it really makes the meetings run a lot smoother. And
yeah, it pulls us away from, you know, the big city and from campus so that we're not isolated necessarily, but away from things that are stressors so that we can totally focus on.
And one another thing we do is we have a comprehensive welcome report at the retreat for all new council members, and that really does a lot to establish continuity between, you know, previous councils and next year's council, so we can understand, you know, what proposals really fit into the definition of sustainability and what orgs have a history of working with us. And one interesting fact I pulled out of that was that the SSC, for all this outreach stuff we do and these retreats we go on, they only actually use 3% of the money we have to allocate. So as far as, like, administration overhead cost, now that's a staggeringly low percentage.
Yeah,
we try and make a point not to use too much of the money for internal purposes.
Yeah.
So it's it was really cool. And just seeing the widespread multidisciplinary nature of the things that we fund and the fact that we're still getting proposals from people we've never seen proposals from is really cool, because every day, like, not every day, that's definitely an over-exaggeration, but, like, every meeting we have the chance to see somebody submit a proposal to us from a corner of the campus that we hadn't yet reached. So it's cool to see we're still growing.
Most definitely. Touching on that, I do want to go into who does submit projects and what departments they come from and who can do it, because that's a really big thing that I know we really try to encourage, is that every member of the UK community, no matter who it is, can submit a project or a proposal idea. And so, like you were saying, just this retreat meeting, we had two really awesome proposals from two entities that really didn't have anything to do with each other. And it was really cool seeing how these people from all over all had different ideas of sustainability and how that can extend to campus. So if y'all can just touch on, you know, some of y'all's favorite partners and stuff like that.
Well, favorite partners, man.
I'd say Will could probably pick a favorite.
He can.
Wildcat Wheels was one of, like, what, the original programs that we've done, and we don't really fund them that much anymore. But
no, not really. But, you know, initially Wildcat Wheels, back in 2009, we had just under 100 bikes, and since then, with some funding from the university and the SSE, we're gonna hit over 400 bikes that are available to students, faculty, and staff this year, hopefully. So it's wicked. It's pretty awesome.
I'm benefiting from it, so
yeah. And anyone else can benefit from it too, not to make this a Wildcat Wheels
plug it.
Wildcat Wheels is available to anybody on campus. It's a free service bike shop that is funded by the university for students, faculty, and staff. You can rent bikes for free. You can also bring any make or model bike to the shop and get it serviced for free, and also learn how to fix it, because we have a very competent staff who know what they're doing, so we can help you fix whatever problem you have on your bike.
Big deal, big resource on campus.
Yeah, and it's so little money goes into it, but yet it affects so many people.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
And I really like that the council is able to fund a lot of student organizations on campus so that they can work toward goals and achieve projects that they wouldn't be able to achieve just, you know, doing a bake sale every now and then or having to scrounge around for funding. Because, like, I'm on several student orgs, and I know how hard it can be to get funding for, like, a big, you know, pet project that you'd really like to do. Like, last year, I know we funded Solar Car. We've also funded, like, several development projects for Green Thumb here on campus.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say this is kind of a cop-out, because it's, like, when I'm going to say it's the Sustainability Challenge Grants, but that's so much more than just one project, because we're allocating money to be shared, to, like, be put into a pool with other entities on campus who also give money to this fund that then promotes interdisciplinary and as undergraduates working with faculty, doing local projects, like, just all different kinds of things, like gardens and school outreach and elementaries here in Fayette County, and just so many other things. So I think that's a really cool way to not only be able to match SSC money with other money on campus, but also bring together faculty and students to create research projects that are multidisciplinary.
Yeah.
A lot of people believe that, you know, they have to be, proposals have to be UK related, but they don't necessarily need to be UK related. They just have to touch on some of the pillars of sustainability, and it just has to affect the community or UK somehow. So what was last year's on the Garden Center to teach elementary school students about gardening and basic, just basic gardening.
Yeah, there was this program that they had, like, students from the education college working with them. Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah.
Talent grants are so in-depth. There's so many people working behind them, so many community partners, so many student orgs, so many students and faculty, that it really makes it...
Challenge grants are really unique in that there are so many people behind them working towards that, and, you know, so many faculty members, so many students, and community partners, that it really goes to show how the community can really rally behind a cause and really mm-hmm. make a huge difference in it. So that's absolutely one of my favorite projects to fund. We are going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.
Welcome back. You're listening to Green Talks. My name is Lauren Thomas. I am the Director of Outreach for the Student Sustainability Council, and I am joined by my fellow directors for the Student Sustainability Council. We were just talking about some of our favorite projects to fund and where they come from, so I really just wanted to continue to grow on that, because we were really talking about some awesome projects and awesome things that we're doing in the community. And Gabe, I know that you said that you had some favorites out there.
Yeah, like we mentioned earlier, like student orgs or like SSC-funded projects on campus like Wildcat Wheels or the Challenge Grants, and all of those are like multi-$1,000 proposals, but you don't have to be a big organization on campus or have some huge dream. You know, if you just see something on campus that you want to improve on and you're willing to put in the work, you can apply to the SSC for money. Like one such proposal last year we had was there were these community gardens behind the Gaines Center that had just, I think we originally funded several years ago, but they'd since fallen into disrepair. And one of our members actually just took it upon himself to go over there and fix it and do all the weeding and replace the mulch so that way it can be an asset to the student body again. And it wasn't even a huge project. He just applied to us for like $200 for mulch and then put in like a couple of weekends of his own time. So, mm-hmm. I mean, if you just see something like that around campus, do you think you can repair and you're willing to put in the work? The council is there to provide the funds for you. So
absolutely. Yeah, we funded projects for just people who want to get supplies for a litter cleanup here mm-hmm. in town. They just want to get gloves and bags so that they can get a group of like 20 students to go and clean up a stream bed or something. And things like that we wholeheartedly want to support, because it's students who are taking the time to recognize a problem, no matter how small, and filling out the form and doing something to try and address it.
Yeah, most definitely. I think that was something really cool in the welcome report that we were talking about with the retreat, is that we saw what our smallest funding was, and it was just like $200, like you were saying, but then there was something that was also for like, you know, close to $50,000 that was mm-hmm. like, you know, a third of our budget. So just the flexibility that's there is really something that's really amazing to me.
Definitely.
That this is a resource for all the students, because this is something that all the students come together and pay for, you know. So, Gabe, as the Director of Development, would you be able to touch on sort of the process and timeline that projects undergo to get funding from the SSC, since that's something that the listeners may not be familiar with?
Mm-hmm. So if you visit our website, there's an email address that goes to the UK Student Sustainability Council, but that address will forward it to all four directors and our faculty advisor. And then the directors have a meeting the week before our council meeting, where we review all the proposals that have been submitted and what kind of, if there's anything like, you know, any suggestions we can make to improve the proposal. We'll usually email the person who wrote it and be like, hey, you know, your proposal has a much better chance of passing if you did this, or you made this typo here, and just review it. And then at the actual meeting a week later, which our meetings this year are Wednesdays 6 to 8.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. First and third.
First and third of every month, yeah. So if anyone's interested, they're of course welcome to come by. And if you submit a proposal, the council can just read over your proposal, which that documentation is on our website, and you can just fill it out and provide any additional documentation. Like if it's an ongoing event, you could submit a brochure, or you can submit, you know, some kind of cover letter to go with it. And then we review it during that meeting. And if you want, you can come in and do like a 5-minute presentation on your proposal before the council to kind of factor into our decision-making process. And then every proposal is discussed, and then we vote on it in like a paper vote, so no one knows what anyone said. You know, you don't know exactly who said yes or no. And then after we vote on it, the director of development, me, will email the person letting them know the council's decision. And if we vote yes, we will assign a liaison and put them in contact with our advisor to handle like dispensation of those funds that were requested. Mm-hmm. But of course, every proposal can also have a line item budget to the council. So if you have like this, you know, complex project, you can submit to us expenses for pretty much every aspect, and the council can choose to fund only parts of it that we think may be most sustainability related. So we can also choose to amend proposals as they come in.
So. Yeah.
And if a proposal is turned down, it's not approved. If it's approved, you just get a congratulations, you know, email saying, "Yo, awesome! Your proposal has been approved. Here's your liaison person. We'll talk to you in a little while." But if it's not approved, we always give you a reason. So that you can come back later on, make the adjustments that you need to either make it more sustainably minded or to change around the budgeting.
More student involvement,
you know, touching on the three pillars of sustainability. And you can basically submit as many times as you want, but you have to make sure it's sustainably minded.
Yeah. As long as your proposal is submitted a week before the next meeting time, that proposal will be reviewed at the meeting. And so, yeah, the directors generally, like, we really don't have a lot of criticism at our, like, director meeting. We mostly just, like Gabe said, it's just small problems, or we want to clarify something if it's, like, because usually we invite presenters to our meetings to come, or proposal writers to our meetings to come and present to us and answer questions face-to-face. That way we can really get a feel for who's asking for the money. We can see how passionate they are about their project. But if there's a really outstanding question that we might have, we may want them to either be prepared to address it or to go ahead and address it before the meeting, just in case.
And just in case anyone listening is interested in writing a proposal, the deadline for those will be next Wednesday. Before our next meeting.
Mm-hmm. Wednesday at 6 p.m. before the meeting on the next Wednesday.
Yeah. We don't have our official location set yet, but I think we're trying to go ahead and do it in the Food Connection in the 90.
Okay.
Which I think is a really sick space, so that'd be really
so cool.
But if not, we'll be in... last year we did all of our meetings in the 90, which is... That in itself is great. That those classroom spaces are really nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if it's not in the 90, it'll be just down the hall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's something that is also really cool to touch on, just the how people can get involved. And the most exciting way is by far, you know, writing a proposal and asking us for money and carrying that out. It's really cool to see how that can have a tangible effect on campus and on your fellow students. But the second way to get involved is to apply to be a member. I know that 3 out of 4 of us are at large. That's what we did. We just wanted to get on, so we tried to get on. We'll see.
And now everyone's calling me a loser over here. There are chair positions for the Student Sustainability Council, so whole organizations can apply to be a part of the Sustainability Council. And then if they're approved, they have a kind of a similar application process to an individual applying for the SSC. If the organization is approved, then that organization is responsible for basically choosing somebody to represent that seat. So Wildcat Wheels, the seat that I occupy, has been on the council basically since the beginning.
Yeah,
because Shane Tedder.
4 or 5 years.
Yeah, yeah. So because the same guy who started the SSC also started Wildcat Wheels.
And that's another way. So you can apply to be an at-large member. I can't make any promises, but we typically have a midterm election so that people can join to come on in the spring semester. That just depends on the council reviewing our membership and deciding if we think we should open up spaces to have more voting members. Mm-hmm. But definitely there will be an application in the spring for at-large members, as well as an application for organizations. So if you're part of a student org and you know that you don't have a seat on the council and you think that you fit into the sustainability sphere here on campus, you can definitely fill out an application. We really want to see more student orgs, because right now we have a ton of at-large, which is great, but I think the minimum at-large we can have is 4, and we need like 11 people for a full council, and so we have room for like at least like 7 at least 7 organizations. So I think it would be definitely cool to see more continuity with organizations sending members.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And the organization doesn't have to be something exclusively focused on sustainability like Green Thumb is. Like WRFL, the radio actually has a seat because they do some outreach work with us. And my organization, Engineers Without Borders, has a seat. Like, we do sustainable engineering, but we also just do a lot of general, you know, volunteerism, education stuff that may not fit in the traditional definition of sustainability.
Right. Yeah. Well,
Yeah, that's just saying that the Interfraternity Council also has a position on the SSC, which is sustainably minded in some senses, but no one would, I think, outright say that it's completely sustainability minded.
Right, right. Well, that's what I was saying with the sustainability sphere is just like RFL has such a strong focus on promoting local art and local community. And so that was something that the people here really emphasized when they applied to be on the council, Engineers Without Borders. And the IFC does a lot of service work and stuff with the community and internationally. And so those are things that we definitely look at and respect when we are viewing organizations who wish to be on the council.
And I mean, we just, since it is student money, we really do strive to be representative of the student body. You know,
certainly,
this isn't limited to any particular majors. I know that us sitting here, we all have very different majors. And so we really try to make it as inclusive as possible, since it is all of our money. We want as many people involved in how we distribute it, you know, as possible, to make that as fair and equitable as we physically can.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is all that I have for you guys today. Thank you so, so much for coming on. Right after our retreat and on the first day of class. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
Great.
Our pleasure.
Awesome. Well, just some closing announcements. The SSC is providing funding to send 5 students to ASHE. It's the Association for the Advancement of Sustainability in Higher Education. They're having a conference in Baltimore this year, and more details on how to apply for this funding can be found at www.uky.edu/sustainability/ASHE2016, that is. All SSC meetings are open to the public and are announced on our website. Keep up with projects, meetings, and events at uky.edu/sustainability/student-sustainability-council. Any member of the University of Kentucky community, can submit a proposal to the Student Sustainability Council to receive funding support from the Environmental Stewardship Fee. We'll be starting hearing proposals next week at our meeting. So any project ideas can be submitted then. You can find more info on the SSC and other related organizations on the sustainability website. You can also like us on Facebook and follow us on our Twitter, UKYSSE. We are so glad to be back on WRFL. I'll be around next week featuring a funded project from the SSC. Thanks for listening.